Hari Om. In this interview, Swami Amaranand shares with us her experience teaching yoga in drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. Swami Amaranand has been dedicated to studying, practicing, and teaching yoga as a way of life for over 35 years. She began her training in 1978 at the Mangrove Yoga Ashram, and in 1984 she became a resident and teacher at the Manly Yoga Center in New South Wales, Australia. Swami Amaranand is currently teaching beginners and experienced classes at the Manly Yoga Center and has been teaching Satchinanda Yoga in drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers for over 20 years. To begin with, Amaranand, may you tell us a bit more about yourself?
Sure. I began practicing Satchinanda Yoga in 1977 and started my training to be a teacher of Satchinanda Yoga at Mangrove in 1978. Mm-hmm. And I took Purna Sannyasa in 1979 from Swami Satchinanda. And I continued living at Mangrove, and in 1984, I became a full-time resident at the Manly Yoga Center. I lived with a very dynamic team of yoga teachers who were all busy teaching in various areas of community need, including mental health and prisons and drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. So I was really fortunate to have people around me that were just so out there giving, and just over you know, meal times, as we'd all sit together eating, hearing the stories of how it was for them teaching in the prison or in rehab. So I think that really helped me to feel comfortable about areas of mental health. Mm. And when I had the opportunity to teach, yeah, I felt quite comfortable taking on that role, and I had very inspiring mentors who could support me if I needed help there.
Mm. Mm. So is that what sort of draw you to teach in that field?
I don't think draw me to teach. I was thinking my background training was, like probably many of us, from the Satchinanda training to serve, love, give. Mm-hmm. So I had that from the first pretty well day I stepped out to Mangrove. Mm-hmm. So it was more, I just knew how the Satchinanda yoga had helped me. Mm-hmm. In such incredible, difficult times in my life where I didn't know if I would survive. Mm. Just through grace or whatever words, divine intervention, whatever words you want to say, that when I was on the bottom of rung of the ladder, someone said to me, hey, I think you would like this yoga center. And I went there, and it was just a profound experience. And it was the first time in years I slept well, and I had a clarity or experience of just such deep integration and inner peace. I thought, if this gives me the experience, I want to share this with as many people as I can. So I think just in my years of teaching, which is nearly 30 years now or over, where the opportunity is, I'll pick it up. And it's probably to teach because of the profound effect it's had on my life. I think I survived through yoga and then got my feet on the ground, and yeah, then had that opportunity through lots of training and my own healing to then, with that passion, to teach others, to help them through challenges. Yeah.
I think that's one of the most powerful ways to teach, from your own experience and by sharing others how you've overcome obstacles and challenges in your life. It's very inspiring. Yeah. Amaranand, where have you taught? What's your experience in teaching?
Sure. I began teaching at the Herbert Street Detoxification Unit around 1984. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, it's the longest running yoga rehabilitation class in Australia. It first was introduced because the person who was in charge of the unit had a cancer of the ear, and he went to the Manly Yoga Center. He had private classes. Mm-hmm. That's around 84, and he went into remission, and he says up until his dying day that it was because of the yoga he learned at the Manly Center that he survived cancer. So being head of the department at Herbert Street Clinic, he then got us into teaching there at the Drug and Alcohol Centre. And that centre provides medically supervised withdrawal management from alcohol and drugs, along with an education therapeutic program, which includes group and case management. And the average stay for clients attending the unit is 6 days. So I've been teaching that class once a week since 1995, and then that unit received a grant a few years back to assist them to also allow clients who, through attending counselling, through attending drug and alcohol programs, just weren't able to get on top of their addiction, and they're at risk to themselves and others. So they extended their work, as I said, a few years back to support these people. When that happened, they asked me if I'd teach twice a week. So I've been now twice a week for the last 2.5 years. And then the other centre that I've been teaching at was the Manly Phoenix Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Centre. And that was from 2000 to 2010. And that's a 4-week program, live-in program, for clients who have already done the initial detoxing and now they're further into their program to look at the emotional, mental conditions that leads them into their addictions and how they can, you know, propagate how to find skills for continuing to live without addictions. I taught there from 2000 to 2010, and that centre was closed, and that's become the Kadesh Centre. I don't know if they have yoga there. And then the other centre that I've been teaching at since September 2004 is the Pioneer Clubhouse, which is in Balgala. And this is a very inspiring drop-in centre for people living with mental health problems. And some of the clients that come to that class also go to the Herbert Street Clinic. They are also struggling with a drug or alcohol addiction. The response to some of your questions are related to the experience from those three different areas of work.
So the 6-day stay at Herbert Street, that is primarily just to detoxing.
That's right.
Yeah. So do you see many people come back time and time again to that program?
Yeah, I do. And even those on the long-term program, which can be up to 3 months, they're called involuntary clients. They actually haven't chosen to go into the clinic, but they're under a medical schedule, I think that's the word, mm-hmm. where they have to go into this centre because they're at risk to themselves and others. Mm. So it's a lock-up centre.
Yeah. So with the clients that you're teaching, with the students that you're teaching, is it a voluntary class that they attend or is it compulsory that they attend the yoga classes?
It changes. Uh-huh. At one time it was compulsory, mm-hmm. and then it went into no, it's more up to them, but they are encouraged, mm-hmm. they're really encouraged to attend. And I think some of the involuntary members do need to attend for a short time, mm-hmm. but as I said, it seems to change. Probably maybe the program changes according to what they're thinking is needed. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, of these classes that you've taught with. And many, many of these classes that you've taught, what do you think the main lessons you have learnt that could be of help to other teachers would be?
To be grounded, to be present, honest, caring and respectful. I think they are the main ones that came to my mind when I was thinking about this. Yeah, to be really solid, that the clients seem to be very tuned in to how I am. The Satyananda Yoga is so powerful, it will work. But what won't work is if I'm a little bit skew-iff in my attitude, if I'm coming from control or impatience or disappointment or, you know, the stuff that can come in, they'll pick that up so quickly. And then I can the whole chart class can change, because they can just trigger them back into their anger, or they'll get disrespectful to me, or they'll start to muck up in the class, maybe because of their emotional lack of wellness. So they'll go into their behavior that may not be supportive to the class, but often that's been triggered by my own stuff, and they're very tuned into that. So they've taught me to, just as I was saying before, to be very grounded and present and caring, respectful, and very spacious. You know, that we can't start on time. I can start when everyone's settled. I really don't know the dynamics that will be. They seem to be hyper alert to me and how I am. So when I'm in that more grounded presence that I was talking about, they feel it and they feel safe. I think that's the word. I got it. They feel safe.
Mm.
And they feel safe, and we just take it as it comes, and each person meet them as they are, and slowly they settle, and it's extraordinary how the class goes. It's extraordinary. To a class of 8 people, some of them angry or shame or whatever's going on, within about 20 minutes, most of them are so centered with what you're doing. It's very powerful.
Mm.
Yeah. So I know the Satchananda works from 20 years of teaching. It's just being very present and caring with the dynamics you're walking into, and that will settle. You know, I know that will settle when just through just being respectful, like I was saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does totally, and it just reminds me of the importance to hold your own ground. I could imagine it would be very confronting when people around you or your students are unsettled and playing up, so to speak, and not to feed into that and to be solid in your own teachings and to watch that settle. I think it's just it would be a beautiful experience, but also it'd be difficult, and only years of experience, I guess, would really train and teach one to be okay regardless of how the students are.
Yeah, yeah. I've learned a lot from teaching, yeah. My skills have improved, yeah, like you were saying, from years of teaching, and, yeah, that's it.
Not a traditional community class.
In a way, no, but in a way, yes, because that same qualities, your students are going to gain the most if you have all those qualities in whatever class you teach.
Mm. Mm.
But these clients are in an incredibly challenging situation. Not only are they having to go through the withdrawals, because Herbert Street is their first base of withdrawals, so they're feeling very sick, and also they're, you know, maybe their family structure's broken down, maybe their relationship's broken down, they've lost their job, they've injuries from their addiction, they're socially isolated. I mean, they're really at a peak of make or break, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So things are really, they're on edge on many layers.
So what are the essential elements to teaching a class for yoga, for drug and alcohol addiction?
I think, coming from my experiences, for teachers to be experienced in teaching Satchananda yoga in the community prior to moving into teaching in yoga for drug and alcohol addictions. Yeah, I think they need to have that base so they know how to vary their practices well, and they're confident in making variations. And also on the day that they teach, they need to be able to find ways of gaining an understanding of how the clients are physically, mentally and emotionally at the time of the class and during the class. Yes. So I suppose that comes down to experience, but also at the beginning of the class, because these people don't fill out a health form. In all the classes I've taught, they don't fill out a health form. I go in there and I just start teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And so before I teach, I'll get everyone's names and just get an idea of how they are. So I pretty well go through the whole body, and I also check in how they're going mentally and emotionally. And yeah, and then I think from a lot of experience, I'm gauging that through the class, because a person may come in and they're traveling okay, they're managing emotionally, mentally, physically the day, and then as you get into the class, you know, they might get triggered, their anxiety might get triggered, or their anger, whatever. So you have to just keep in touch with how everything's going while you're teaching and knowing how to respond to that. Yeah.
So what obstacles, problems have you encountered that teachers may not foresee?
So far I've spoken to you about the Herbert Street Clinic. That's the most challenging clinic that I've taught in, or one of the most challenging. And these are some of the things I've written down that, you know, I might go in and the room's very untidy. The space is limited. Some clients have to do the class on one of the sofas. This is a government-funded centre. It's not private. So they have little funding. So the environment's not always the best. And things like even the room temperature can be very challenging, because some clients get really hot when they're detoxing, some get really cold. So you can't have an overall room temperature. You need to, again, yeah, check how people are and offer them places in the room where they may not be as cold, or where they can get warm or whatever. And clients are experiencing a range of mental, physical and emotional challenges. Conditions like anger and restlessness, anxiety. They also can have be extremely lethargic due to the medication they're on, or they may be experiencing depression. They might not be sleeping due to their detoxing, and a lot of them are overeat. So just before the class, they might have had their third round of pizza. And, you know, this is just how it is. You know, they're managing themselves the best they can, and that will be in all different ways and different for each client. And they can also be experiencing shame, because some of them I've seen before, some of them I've seen a lot. So when they see me, they can feel ashamed because they're back in the program. And also some of the clients can be pregnant. And then also on a physical level, they could be experiencing cramps, body cramps, and nausea, headaches, insomnia. And then you've got, on a mental level, poor concentration, and just some of them are just too unwell to do it, which doesn't mean they leave the room. That they're too unwell to do the postures, but they can rest in the room and they do find it very restful. I think it's been with the other clients, and just the pace of the class is very soothing and no pressure. And I often get feedback how deeply they sleep when those who really can't manage it decide to sleep. So, those situations can be very challenging when you don't have a lot of experience. To me, they were challenging, but, yeah, over through lots of experience, and you know how to deal with each situation as it arises.
Mm. And I guess to get that experience, we have to make mistakes too. And I think that, yeah, it's helpful to know that we don't have to be perfect. And when we're teaching, yeah, things are going to crop up and we're not going to know how to deal with them. But it's just, yeah, as best as we can.
Exactly. And when I know I'm getting impatient, or I notice my response might get a little bit short or impatient, you know, I'll call it and I'll apologize. And that's something I've learned. Because our Satyananda Yoga isn't just the classes. These people need strong role models. A lot of them are, the people they are with are also addicts.
Yeah.
So they don't have a lot of mental health around them or emotional health around them. So, you know, as a teacher, we're bringing forward all those qualities we know about or try to bring forward, you know, around the patience and the kindness and the caring and the respect. So they're really feeding off that. So if I notice, like I was saying before, I don't respond well, I'll say that. well, then apologize. And if I'm noticing they're not responding appropriately, they'll respond very well. If I, for example, if someone's being disruptive in the class, talking a lot, if I say, please don't talk, the chances of that working is very small. But if I say, you know, I'd really like to be able to teach to everyone well, and I find it really difficult when people are talking, so I'd really appreciate if you could not talk, and they don't talk.
Yeah, just rephrasing that. It's like they don't need to rebel to something that's asked like that. Yeah,
they don't seem to.
Yeah,
they really hear it very quickly, and if they talk again, I'll just say their names, and they'll just our usual apologize. Oh, sorry, I forgot. It's really powerful. They get it so quickly. That's what amazes me, that they. Or if they're angry, got to give them space. But if that anger is escalating, I then have to ask them to leave.
Mm.
But also say you can come back when you feel ready to. And they hear that. And that very rarely happens. I find if I just give a person space, I recognize they're angry.
Yeah.
And I just give them space around that. I don't try and change their anger. I just give them lots of space and settle the group, and then if they can just participate even a little bit, that the yoga just starts to change them. Yeah,
and I guess it's such a different response to how they're perhaps receiving the rest of the world. Like it's humbling. It's you're going there being an equal in a way, like no better or lesser, and I think that can be comforting to the client. There research or teachings which have supported and inspired your work in this area?
Yeah, there is. Well, like I've said, the inspiration for my teachers in Satchinanda lineage, mm-hmm. to serve, love and give, continue to support and inspire me in this area of teaching. And early on in my teaching profession, I realized that to be able to support others who are struggling emotionally, I needed to understand and heal my own layers of emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended just fabulous teachings from 1994 to 1998 with Aurora Hammond, and that was at the Holistic School of Counseling in New Crow's Nest. And from that training, I gained just wonderful wonderful understandings of emotional wellness for myself, an opportunity to heal myself and to get the skills to support others through their emotional pain. From 2007 to 2011, I did training with the Tibetan Buddhist teachers at the Rigpa School.
Mm-hmm.
And their teacher is Sogyal Rinpoche, and he's the author of Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. And I find the Tibetan Buddhist teachings that he offers are just so powerful around compassion for oneself and others.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were talking about early on around, yeah, we make mistakes, and to have compassion around that, and, yeah, that I just found their teachings superb on compassion. They resonated with me, that they keep on resonating for me in all the areas of teaching. And this year I've started teaching, training with Rick Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
When I say teacher training, I meant to say it's a one-year online training called Foundations of Wellbeing.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Hansen is a neuropsychologist, meditation teacher and co-founder of the Wellspring Institute for Neuroscience and Contemplative Wisdom. His latest book is Buddha Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love and Wisdom. And the reason why I decided to do his teaching is because I'm always teaching people from so many diverse backgrounds. In respect to them and me wanting to be able to communicate with them and to share the teachings of yoga with them, I need to have a language that we can communicate with. So I've found with being associated with Satchinanda Yoga for a long time, I lacked down-to-earth language around some of the teachings that I'd had. So Rick Hansen won't have any spiritual dialogue. He will just have a very simple dialogue around what wellness is.
I think it's just lovely how your teachings and trainings, even though they're not yoga as such, with these teachers, they really complement and enhance the practices that you're teaching.
They are, because, and this is where, thanks for that question, because I think this is the real nitty-gritty of the Satyananda Yoga teachings in these areas, but I think in all areas, is where we're coming from. And clients can feel it. So the more caring, compassionate, as well as practical I am, the more powerful the teachings are. So I just continue to draw on that. To me, that is Satyananda Yoga. The postures and the meditation are a component of Satyananda Yoga. But our first stepping stone into our relationship with our students, whether they're drug and alcohol or manly or wherever, is that, hello, how are you? It starts then. It starts how we advertise. It starts how we walk. It starts how we look in their eyes.
Oh, it's, absolutely.
We're conveying the teachings from the beginning to end in so many different ways. So,
and you can really feel that authenticity, and when people are walking the talk, it's it's so evident and clear. What are the key messages you'd like to give to anyone considering to working in this area?
I think, you know, we can have all the teachings, that the correct way of teaching and posture and all this and that, but
be true.
God, you know, if you're facing a client that's so sick, and they've managed to get themselves off their bed, they're determined to do the program so they get on top of their addiction, and they've wandered into a class so sick, and they lie down and they can barely raise their leg, and I'm not going to come up to them and show them how to raise their leg. It's just being, just seeing that and just giving them space around that, and it might be they then have to rest, and it might be they have a sleep, and that's great. And often those people come up and really apologize that they couldn't do more than they did. And I just reckon it's fabulous that they were able to walk up the stairs and even get into the room. And I just, it's very powerful when you just meet them as they are and don't put your judgment of what participation is.
Providing the space and freedom for them just to be as they are.
Love and care. Because you said it before, that they haven't had much of this to themselves, or others haven't treated them that way. So, and also I see these clients in the street, which is interesting because they're teaching in those three different areas. I'll see them in all different environments. So you're not only just the teacher of yoga, but you're part of their community of wellness. So that's a strong aspect of the teaching, that you're there as to represent someone who is doing the best they can to live a healthy, well life. As I said before, that starts from the beginning of the class to the end. And then when you've had opportunity to talk to them, to know their name, when I see them in the streets, I already have some sort of rapport. Not all of them will say hello. Some of them may be back in their addiction, so they don't want to say hello, but a lot of them do. And I just ask them how they're going, and it's very positive.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I spoke a lot about the Herbert Street Clinic. I didn't really speak, that's the most challenging area. The Phoenix class of people who have been, that I taught for nearly 10 years, they were people who had already been through their first stage, so they weren't struggling so much physically. And they were there for 4 weeks, so I could teach much more challenging poses. And a diverse group of poses. But I have found with the three classes, I can do very little relaxation. No, I don't bother going into meditation. they just don't seem to be able to go to that level.
Mm.
Or if they can, maybe two can and the rest can't. So that's not appropriate to teach in that way because they're group classes.
Mm.
So I know I've spoken to some teachers and they're surprised, Satchinanda teachers, that I don't teach yoga nidra and meditation, but I don't think they teach in this area.
Mm.
They're just mentally, emotionally not able to go to that level of fineness.
Yeah.
It's too fine. And you don't need to, because the postures, when they're taught well and with care and spaciousness, they're so powerful. And letting them slow the breath down. And the other thing is, these clients may never pick up yoga after the class.
Mm.
Maybe one or two, I don't know, haven't done research on it. But I don't, so, but that's not, I don't have that as an agenda, that I teach this class and then I give them flyers and encourage. Of course I encourage, and I don't encourage to Satchinanda yoga. I keep it very open.
Mm.
I encourage them to find a teacher that they're very comfortable with and a teacher that teaches a balanced set of practices for their body and mind, and a teacher you feel comfortable talking to so they can support you one-on-one also in the class and that sort of thing. Keep it very open.
Mm.
The Manly Yoga Centre has sponsored a couple of clients from these centres, which is great, so they don't have to financially pay. So that's great.
Mm.
So I've often seen, you know, that little phrase, one day at a time?
Yeah.
So I sit with that. I just think, well, if today this class has made them feel more relaxed and centered and they've had a positive experience in themselves and with me, that's a really good outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and Maranand for giving us practical suggestions for teaching yoga for drug and alcohol addictions. It has been such a pleasure interviewing you.
Oh, that's good.
So thank you so much, and I look forward to perhaps seeing you at the Manly Yoga Centre.
Good eyes, yeah, me too. Okay.
Hari Om Tat Sat.
Hari Om, lots of love. Bye-bye. Bye.